Welcome to Inside the Castle, the podcast that goes behind castle doors to have real conversations with real people about solving the nation's toughest challenges.
I'm one of your hosts today, Marie Kopka.
And I'm Aaron Schneider.
Welcome to today's episode of our People First series, where we celebrate unity, empowerment, and the diverse voices in our workplace to highlight our greatest asset, our people. Aaron, today we are spotlighting the work of another core employee resource group, the Asian American Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander Employee Resource Group, or AANHPI-ERG. That's a big acronym.
It certainly is. And if I remember right, I did an interview with you, Judy McCrae, and Wen Cheng maybe a couple of years ago about the formation of this group. And I remember that being a very interesting podcast.
Yeah, you're right. I think that was about 2.5 years ago. So our group has been going strong for the last few years. And since then, every year, we have been developing and hosting a core-wide Asian American Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander Heritage Month event every May. And these events tie into one of our community goals, which is to spread awareness and cultural education across our agency. So this year, our AANHPI Heritage Month theme was one that was developed by our ERG, and it was Hidden Histories, Uncovering Neglected and Forgotten Voices of the Past to Inform Our Future. And we have with us Felix Young, a member of our AANHPI Employee Resource Group, who was the main organizer and host of this year's AANHPI Heritage Month event. So thank you, Felix, for joining us here today.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to tell the story again.
Great. And before we dive into our topic, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So once again, my name is Felix Young. I am the strategic planner and congressional liaison for the Sacramento District. I've been with the Corps for about 8.5 years now. More personally, as part of the relationship to this group, I'm a first-generation immigrant from Hong Kong. I came to the States when I was 15, so I've been here for 30-some years now.
Thanks, Felix. Well, it's nice to have you here, and thanks for sharing a little bit about your background. I was wondering, this month, I was able to join in on the presentation about the Hidden Histories, and I found it super interesting. So I was wondering if you could just tell us a little bit more about how did you settle on the Hidden Histories theme, and how did this become like the focus of AANHPI's Heritage Month?
Yeah, so it was a somewhat organic development. The conversation started when Judy and Marie asked me to kind of help support this the month's activities. And then we had some initial conversations that started early. And thanks to Marie, we actually got started getting organized quite a bit towards, even started talking about towards the end of last year. And then Marie, Natalie, and I, through those conversations, we went through the idea of, well, there's stories to be told. There are perspectives that may or may not have been emphasized enough based on what we have seen it from our community. So we thought it would be a wonderful thing to talk about what's been neglected or what's been forgotten, or at least what has not been emphasized enough. And that's how we just kind of organically settled on the idea of telling stories. And I think I'll give credit back to Marie for helping us encapsulate everything in the term hidden history. That was how we got started to hopefully bring to light some of the things that we don't know very well enough. But at the same time, we also wanted to make sure it wasn't a very commonly told angle or perspective. And if you were to go out and talk about, for example, some of the things that happened during World War II or Japanese internment camps and all that, there is extensive work that already been done to uncover that very tragic and shameful part of our story. But we thought, okay, well, what about the Corps? If we say that the Corps actually got involved in building these buildings and the facilities, how else did the Corps respond to the war and everything else before that, or before and after that? So we ultimately then decided to say, to make this unique, to make this relevant, we should be talking about the Corps' hidden history, about the AANHPI community. And that's how we finally kind of gelled into the kinds of presentations and talks that we ultimately organized and researched and put on.
So Felix, you had mentioned forgotten and kind of neglected voices. And it seems like almost every community would have, these forgotten or neglected voices. So how did you choose which direction and approach to take for this theme?
Well, first of all, we thought that, as I mentioned, focusing on the core was an important part of it. But then when we finally started doing the research, there were two key people who really helped me figure out where to go and how to go about approaching this. First of all, it was Amber Collins, who was the then USAID librarian. I understand that she pursued another opportunity recently and is no longer with the Corps. And then I also talked to Adriana Ercolano, who is the head of Public Information Service at Hydrology Engineering Center. Both of them were tremendous in telling me what resources they have, how they practice history, and this idea, even this kind of step, taking a step back to say, well, to understand what was written, you also have to understand how we practice history at the core. So having that as a beginning principle to kind of focus our approach was to allow us to then say, oh, okay, we know that when we use the core's documents and when we look into the core's archives, this is the perspective and how do we search through it? And then ultimately, what questions to ask if we were to say, well, what can we do about the issue of hidden history? So that was how we helped to refine our approach. At the same time, though, we thought that it was important to not let whatever happened decades ago to be definitive, because we know that as a society, we have already made some progress in understanding diversity, equity, inclusion. So by saying hidden histories, we weren't necessarily limiting ourselves to what happened in the last century or decades ago. Our approach included looking at, well, what has happened even more recently? Are there still histories that are being quote unquote hidden in the more recent retelling of what happened in the last century? So again, I want to give credit to Amber and Adriana for giving me some of these questions to think about and some of these approaches to pursue. And just as importantly, they encouraged and taught me how to look through the Office of History's online collection. Actually, it's the USAID Digital Library, where the Office of History has put together a wonderful, impressive collection. That became the online collection, because it was so extensive and quite impressively comprehensive. That became the focal point for us to understand the AANHPI story as it has been told throughout the course history. That was the starting point that gave us documents to review, the people to talk to. And so that was how we kind of came together.
That's really interesting. And I think it's interesting to talk about hidden histories, because obviously the kind of the question I have is like, how in the world would you find out about these hidden histories? I think history, like the old saying goes, is I think that, you know, kind of the winner of the war writes the history, or the winner writes the history. So it's like, how do you go back in time and kind of find those stories, and what kind of documentation is there, and what challenges do you run into while you're trying to pull together the information to formulate the story?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Aaron. I mean, the first challenge was, how do you find what's missing? Right. You can't just do plug in a search term and see what's not there. You're looking into that negative space. But that also gives us a lot of freedom, right? Because we are not necessarily trying to define what's there and what isn't there by just looking at what's on the page. Part of the fun was thinking, well, okay, they talked about the Korean War, for example, but we have a story, a community and a story of heritage. What you then do is you look through a document, say, any of those interactions, so is there any of that commentary captured in what's there? Now, it does take a little bit more work, because then what you have to do is look through what's there and then define the negative space to say, well, what's missing? What are the questions that left unanswered? The challenge, but also the surprise, again, was, as I was saying earlier, was that the usage digital library was surprisingly broad and comprehensive. It houses scanned versions of historical documents that go really far back. The other thing that I also found out, and that was a little bit of a surprise to me, was it's not just written by one single voice. It is not just like the Enterprise History Office's products. It's very much like how the core operates today, because even the practice of history, as I see from these documents, seems somewhat federated. By that, I mean you have historians at every level, whether it's district or division, writing history for the core. They were not just capturing what was in their here and now when they were writing it. They also stretched back several decades in their own work. So I'll give you an example. The first document I look at was from my own district, Sacramento. In 1977, Sacramento SVK published a history of the district between 1929 to 1973. So they went back almost five decades. Another document that I relied quite a bit on was called Castles in the Far East, that chronicled the Okinawa and Japan districts between 1945 to 1990. And that was wonderful because they did not talk about just the war period and when there was all this animosity towards Japan, or that Japan was clearly our enemy. But it went back beyond that to say, well, what has happened since then? What have we done in Japan since they were no longer an adversary and became an ally? And that got published in 1990. So again, we have these district historians who were writing and doing the research to help us fill in the gaps looking backwards from those several decades when they were working. One more long and extensive record that I saw was the Army Corps' work in Korea during the Korean War. That didn't get published until 2005. So again, you have, throughout the decades, many, many core historians who left their mark and did a lot of the historical research that gave us what we know today.
Yeah, that's really fascinating about kind of continuing to tell the story, I guess. You know, the district historians or maybe even division historians, they might focus in on one area and then kind of building off of it from there to continue to tell the story as like our organizational history. Thank you for kind of providing this a little snapshot into your first presentation for the Heritage Month event. So there were actually two presentations given that month, and Daesoon Oka gave that second one. In Daesoon's presentation, he spoke about the conflict on the Marshall Islands during World War II and how the U.S. was tied into what happened both, you know, before, during, and after the war. How did it feel to tackle this type of topic?
Yeah, that presentation and that topic were amazing. So Desmond was the one who approached me first. Initially, this was several months ago when he told me that he was introducing himself to me after one of our ANHPI community meetings. And so we started talking and he told me about this work. I was like, oh, that sounds great. I didn't think it was going to fit in so well until we started putting this together, the Hidden Histories theme. And then it suddenly dawned on me to say, oh, wait, he was trying to tell me something that fits exactly into a chapter of history that was not well known, not well told. And it was just this wonderful circumstance. But it was not easy to tackle it because I'll say this, and this is all credit to Daesoon. From the moment he spoke up to let me know about this research that he did, he made it clear how professionally he was approaching it. What I mean by that was, it wasn't about just finding fault or doing any kind of retroactive Monday morning quarterbacking about right and wrong. He was simply there to do the job of this story, to share the facts as he was able to gather them together through his own research, and then connect the dots. As those of us who listened to his presentation and participated in it, one of his major findings was, look, what happened on these two islands, even though they happened at separate times and seemingly miles across from one another, they are intimately connected to what the Japanese did, what the U.S. military strategy at that time, how that applied pressure on the Japanese, and multiple kind of dominoes falling became pressure on the populations on the island. The other reason why it was such an appealing subject for him to propose and for us to include in the Heritage Month program was to focus on the Central Pacific culture and community. I mentioned this during the actual presentation itself. It's really easy for us to focus our ANHPI discussions on the larger Asian populations, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Vietnamese, etc. But Desson gave us a glimpse of a picture that was not showing not only how the US and Japan were involved, but included the native Marshallese and Korean immigrants that went to work and established themselves in the middle of the Pacific, far from home. It was a wonderfully innovative topic because it was based on his own unique historical research, but it also gave us a chance to visit the PI side of the ANHPI ERG that we have so far not had not many opportunities to focus on. So it was wonderful. And then, like I said, to suddenly find that there were Koreans, US, Japan, and the Marshall Islands all tied together in this tiny footprint where these two tragedies happened was also really eye-opening.
Yeah, and listening to the presentation, I was really moved by like the human aspect of it. I think sometimes we have this broad picture of the war. You know, it's, you know, Japan versus the United States and like how the Allied forces, you know, island hopped towards mainland Japan. But you don't think really at all or completely forget about those hidden histories of the natives on those islands to begin with. How did this war that was happening literally on their islands affect them? And obviously, it seems like the effects that we heard about in this presentation were largely negative or entirely negative. But it was really that human piece that gets missed from the broader story. So I thought that was really moving and really helped to kind of open my eyes to the cost of war and the conflict. And then a lot of those sub stories. And it's so easy to see how it could be hidden and forgotten. And I was kind of curious, you know, I guess you just heard my response to the presentation, but what kind of responses have you got from others that have listened into these presentations?
So we have heard from more than several folks who have, when we emailed some follow-up information and all that, who have told us they have now actually gone back to their own family members to ask them to retell the stories before they're forgotten. Which is wonderful because one of the things that we talked about was to encourage people to tell their own stories now. Don't just wait for another institution, another agency, or another record to be told for you. But you were saying some of those, the personal history, Aaron. To get those, some of the personal angles, the only way you can do this is by talking one-on-one to people. And so we were encouraged to hear that some of our members were already doing that. In fact, one of our members mentioned that when she told the story to one of her family members, that family member, I think it was an aunt or a grandmother, suddenly remembered Marshallese songs that she learned from many, many years ago, even though it's not her heritage. But that connection was made right there, right then, to say, oh, yeah, I do know that there was a connection between the Marshall Islands and Korea, and then maybe at Taiwan as well. So it was just really fascinating to see that, oh, wow, what we thought was forgotten is actually ingrained in the memories of some of these people, even though they may not be on the islands themselves. So there are all these threads of history that still remain to be kind of uncovered and dug up for discussion, for sharing, for just memory makings. And the best part, obviously, is that we hope when people do that, it enriches their perspective and the relationships between the people within themselves and the people who are telling them these stories.
You touched on this a little bit already about this kind of the call to action that you had at the end of your presentation. Can you tell us a little bit more about like why you decided to have this call of action? And then maybe for the listeners, what you think we want the listeners to try to consider and think about in response to the hidden histories theme.
So the call to action was largely it reflects largely the intent to say, let's not just focus on the past. What has been previously neglected or subsumed, what can we do about it now? Having that call to action is always important for us because this is a way of learning from history. And as Marie, you were saying at the outset of this session, there's about how the past informs the future, right? So the call to action is how we inform the future by saying that, look, the histories to be uncovered and discovered and to be brought to light again. But what it also challenges us to do is to say, well, maybe that's not the only way to do history going forward. We can start writing that history ourselves now by talking to our relatives, talking to our friends and family, and also perhaps even doing some additional work to capture those interpersonal histories. One of the things that it became apparent when you look into the existing space and also the negative space of what was written versus what was not, was you quickly realize that what we emphasized during the presentation, that this is not about finding fault. It's not to say that all of the historical documents that came before should have been written in a different way. No, they wrote history. They did. They did a very professional job and very comprehensive job. There are always going to be things that you won't be able to capture in one single document. And the point is to say it is the interpersonal, the individual voices. When you go into working in a community, for example, during the Korean War, that the document said that they found the Korean population civilians to be very hardworking, and they literally broke their backs to do great work to support the Army Corps. Well, the negative space then, the unwritten space, undefined space was, what were their motives? Was it because they were grateful for what the U.S. did? Were they thinking that, or perhaps maybe some of these families thought, oh, if I connect up with the U.S. forces, I can have a chance to go to America, this wonderful land that everybody has told me about. That is the kind of history that you don't get, right? You just hear, oh yeah, we got this great workforce to support us, but you don't hear the motives. What were they thinking? How did they think about working with them? All those things. So I think then going back to the call to action is to say, hey, let's not think that history is just for the historians to do. We can do history ourselves. We can capture history ourselves. We can start telling these stories so that they don't get forgotten. When if you have an army of very good storytellers, let's deploy and use them so that we fill in those blanks now rather than waiting until later. The Office of History, again, go all credit to them, included this oral history. Some of the documents were oral histories. And then I realized, oh, look, they also have a different way of practicing history. It's not just about the 5 W's or 6 W's or whatever it is. They also had these interviews where they got people to talk very personally about what they experienced. And not surprisingly, perhaps, because they're so good at what they do, they also included the guide. Say, if you want to oral history interviews, these are all the things you think about. And that document, the methodology document, the guidance document is published as part of the Office of History's collection. So that's another place that we think, okay, well, we even have professionals telling us how they went about doing these oral histories and capturing them. Let's use it. Let's use this wonderful resource that they provided. And this is also, I guess, is their way of also inviting people who don't do history and the day jobs to participate in what they do.
That's really interesting. And I could see some of our listeners out there being like, hey, I'm super interested in either, you know, leveraging resources that the Corps has for my own stories or family histories, or also maybe they want to learn more about the ANHPI Hidden History Series. If our listeners want to figure out some more on their own, where should they go to learn more about these topics?
We have already recorded both of those presentations. So anybody who's interested can just contact me or Marie, and we can provide them with the WebEx link to the archive recordings of the sessions. Any one of us, again, also, but Marie and Judy in particular, who have been leading our ERG, they can add anyone who is interested to our distribution list so that folks can become aware, can calendar in our next community conversations and just join us and check out these stories as they unfold, as we go through these different themes every month. So yeah, I mean, there are multiple ways to learn, to get involved. And it all just begins with a quick email to one of us and we'll get folks connected.
Yeah, thanks, Felix. And since our People First series is about celebrating unity and our diverse voices and empowering people, I wanted to ask you a personal question about your experience in being part of our Asian American and Hawaiian Pacific Islander Employee Resource Group. What are some of the important lessons and rewards you've gleaned from your participation in our community so far?
Thanks for asking that question, Marie. It initially began with just some passing interest, honestly, because I was thinking, wow, we're so busy. How do I find time for this? But it has continued to grow and means a bigger deal to me with each passing conversation, because now I realize how many people share across different heritage, by the way. Not just, for example, I'm a Chinese immigrant, but the stories that we tell are so universal across the different populations inside our group, and even sometimes among our allies too, who may not come from an ANHPI background. Things about, for example, our relationship with the generation before us, our relationship to our thinking about finances, our thinking about elder care and preparing for retirement, and stories about what you get, how you experience, and how you filter what you see when you're traveling, and with what kind of frame of mind you approach different cultures as you come to learn about them when you're traveling, or whether you're just talking to a colleague of yours. So this has been a tremendously enriching and educational experience, even for me. The other thing is having that dedicated time and space to think back to your own roots, to think back to all the things that inform who you are today, whether it's culturally or otherwise, is such an empowering and enriching thing to do. And to be able to do colleagues who share the same stories is makes it so much better, because now you're thinking, wow, these are not unique experiences. There's a community that I can reach out to when I'm going through XYZ and be able to find some resonance and know that I'm not alone. That is just so valuable for me, even as you go through your everyday work. So I would say that, yeah, this has meant a bigger and bigger and greater value to me as I went along.
Thanks, Felix. And it's been great hearing your story today, and it's been great hearing more about Hidden Histories. Unfortunately, we're nearing the end of our time, but before we go, I wanted to ask, do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I would say the best thing to do is to always ask questions. When you're engaging with people, to always ask questions and listen and learn. That's, I think, is the best way for us to hear each other's histories, to exchange those stories, and to uncover all those things. Because again, the stories are not always written in front of you. But if you learn to ask more questions and you ask to be more probing and to be a better listener, that's when things surprise you. It's in those, what I call the negative unwritten spaces, that's where they surprise you, if you know how to ask the right questions and then listen for the answer. So I think that's my thought to share with everyone, whether it's about ANHPI heritage or about anything else, as we build these interpersonal relationships and try to find those additional connections and textures to enrich our relationships with one another.
Oh, I think that's great advice for our listeners to listen. Obviously, I think that sometimes is a little bit too hard for all of us. You're thinking of your response before you're really listening. So encourage everybody to always listen. Felix, thank you for sharing your story and telling us more about this year's AANHPI Heritage Month theme on Hidden Histories. We appreciate you and your insights. To our listeners, we want to hear from you what topics are important to you and people you're interested in hearing from. Until next time, be safe. be innovative, and tell your story.
Thanks for joining us for this Inside the Castle podcast. To provide your feedback, email us at cw.infrastructure.team@usace.army.mil. Stay tuned for additional Inside the Castle podcasts as we explore life inside the core and revolutionize civil works together.